Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you. We adore you. We worship you. Please don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Just help those under the anointing so they are not injured. There is an equipping already going on. I was sharing with God's servant. Most times when God begins to move, the people that lose out are those who think they know spiritual things. That's why most times pastors, their growth is stagnated. Come to God's presence as though they've known it all. And they keep missing God again and again and again. They remain on one spot for many years. And the number of years they've been on one spot becomes their credential. And they have no authority in the spirit. Most times when God begins to move, it's on certain men. People you don't expect, they are the ones that make the most of it. Because they are open. So they can flow with any dimension of God that hits the building. We must be sensitive. It's a strategic season. So we refuse to be distracted by the chaos. We refuse to be intimidated by the violence. We keep our gaze and our focus on the Lord, and we align with the movements of the Spirit. Because we know that as we transit, everything happening around us will take just a command for it to nullify. That's how the realms were framed to function. So when you see a lot of chaos happening, sometimes it's an indication that the body of Christ is ready for another phase of transition. When you see chaos happening like this, sometimes it's an indication that able men and gatekeepers are lacking. It is the gates that are not kept that are being exploited. So instead of just sitting down and crying, what we do is that we study within and to find out what to do in order to raise men that are able to stand in the gap, in order to keep the gates. And the moment the gates are kept, the white beast will go back. And so, to begin our journey tonight, I want to share with us briefly about the transitions of the Spirit that are currently taking place in the realms of the Spirit. And the responsibility of believers in keeping sync with that transition so that we can remain relevant as individuals and as a generation in the calendar of God. Of the many things that God has for mankind. And that's why you have seen many generations experience different dimensions of God. You have seen many seasons of God's dealings with humankind opened up for many generations. And it will not end. Even at the end of the dispensation of man, it will still not end. Because they can't be exhausted. The Bible said his ways are past finding out. However, in order for us to make the most of the allocated portion of God that is for our generation, there is a posture we must sustain, like you have mentioned. Because it is the posture of an individual that determines how much of God he can receive. Not the activity is engaging. You can come to church and pray with everybody and pray very loud. But if your heart is foul, the same glory that comes to bless the generation will resist you. Because God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. So your posture becomes what determines what you will receive. And so when we step into a transition season like this, one thing we must learn to do is to look away from distraction. And to ensure that people are taught so they understand the season where they are in the movements of the Spirit. They understand the season where they are in the dealings of God, and they sustain the right heart posture so that they will make the most of what God has to offer in that generation.
Because all of us may start very vibrant. But in the next 40 years, when you look behind, you will find out that not too many people will align with that movement. That's why many times, when a new generation evolves, they point few people and say, these are fathers. When they started, they were not countable. They were many. But when they served God according to their dispensation, at the end of their generation, they become few. Because heart posture determines levels of transition. You may begin when God starts, but you may fall by the wayside. If you don't understand the disposition of the spirit that you must sustain in order to stay relevant. You may begin with God, pursuing Him with the whole of your heart. But the moment transition begins to take place, a lot of things happen. And many cannot stand in the days when warriors are combat. In the days when men who can hold the heritage of God are counted, many times, too many are disqualified. So even the man teaching you today is talking with fear and trembling. Because that I teach it is not a guarantee that in the next 40 years, I will stand among the patriarchs. It will take continuous dealing. It will take continuous alignment and continuous yielding to sustain a posture that will qualify me for every graduation in the intensities of the glory that will be manifested. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before I begin to talk to us about the transitions that are taking place, and the specific transition that is taking place. First of all, I will share with us three indicators that make us know that we are in a transition season. And then number two, I will share with us the things that happen in the transition season. Then I will begin to talk about the different transitions that individuals and the body of Christ will go through before the dispensation of man is ended. Because when we say transition, we are not just talking because we feel like talking. There are marks that shows that God wants to begin a new move. One of the first indicators that a transition is beginning to take place is the fact that gatekeepers are summoned home. The Bible says when David served God, served his generation, according to the will of the Father, he rested. So when fathers who have kept the gate over a season and a dispensation finish their assignment, God begins to call them home. When God begins to call them home, God begins to look for new functionaries. So every time you look upon the landscape and strategic individuals that have kept the gates of God are beginning to go home, even if you don't hear the sounds in the spirit, know that a new season is about to open. Because when Moses is going, and a Joshua is to be anointed, then you know you are in a transition. A Moses brings the children of Israel out of Egypt, but a Joshua takes them to the promised land. They are different dispensations. So when Moses is going home, and a Joshua is coming on the scene, know that you are in a transition phase. That means the assignment of the departure from Egypt is coming to an end, and the new testimonies of God that will come will be about the promised land. So the assignment of Joshua, it's not the signs and wonders required to shut down the government of Pharaoh. The assignment of Joshua is on how to allocate the lands to the different tribes of Israel. The assignment of Joshua is how to contend with the kings that will resist them from entering the promised land. Whereas, the assignment of Moses is to bring down the kings that kept them in captivity, to take them out of the land of captivity. The assignment of Joshua is different. Joshua doesn't know how to deal with Pharaoh. Because the job of Pharaoh is for another gatekeeper. It is a Moses that knows how to bring down Egypt with a staff because of the kind of encounters that he has. If you bring Joshua before Pharaoh, Pharaoh will lick him up. It will take a Moses to take Egypt and to bring down Pharaoh. But we need a Joshua to take them into the promised land. So when you see fathers beginning to lead the scene, and God begin to raise new voices, you know that the transition is by the corner. Now, if you are wise, you begin to put your heart together. Because when God begins to choose men, there are no favoritism with God. Because when Samuel came, he looked upon Eliab. Everything about him suggested that he was the Lord's anointed. But God said, I have refused him. He said, man look upon the outward, but God looks at the heart. So when you notice the transition is taking place, it's a time for heart surgery. Because you may not be educated, but you may be the one that God has chosen. And many times, the people that think that they are supposed to be the one, they will further disqualify themselves with their pride and arrogance. And they will begin to fight the people that God is working with. Because they are loftiness. They assume because they are educated and they are eloquent. They assume because they know how church activity is carried out. They must be the one God will choose. And when they walk out, God will say, I have refused it. So in order not to be refused, what you do in a transition season is to check your heart. Because you say, I, the Lord, I test the heart and I try the reins to give to every man as his way should be. So the first indicator for transition is the departure of warriors, the departure of patriarchs, the departure of gatekeepers who kept the heritage of God over a generation for a dispensation. When their time comes, like David, they will rest with the fathers because they have served their generation according to the will of God. The second indication that there is a transition is that God brings new manna. The testimonies of God will begin to change. You know, when you hear, Jesus needs to help us this evening. When God begins to bring new bread, then you know that Israel needs to be fed with another manna. Because stamina will be required. Because when you are in Egypt, you will eat garlic. But when you enter the promised land, you will not find garlic there. Because you can't survive on garlic. Garlic may have a good taste and a good smell. You may even desire it. But you see, you need angel's bread to walk through the wilderness. Garlic will no longer be enough. So God will change the bread. So before now, when people gather in their number, God is talking about prosperity. He wants to bless them. So everybody is saying amen. But you see, the era where we are now, that amen gospel will no longer suffice. Because God is raising soldiers. And when God is raising soldiers, the testimony of God is the testimony of death. So the message will change because a new manner will be required to strengthen your loins so that you are able to stand in the day of battle. Whereas, out of Egypt, God needed one man with his staff. But when they are running through the land of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, when they are running through the territories of Bashan, they will need 1,000 men to fight. So the thing that happened to one man in Horeb will happen to many people. So at that time, God bless you may not be enough. Beyond God bless you, you may go to the wilderness to learn the way of prayer and fasting. You will learn how to die to your desires. You will learn how to stay awake all night and to seek the face of him that dwells in the deep darkness. Because the God that will take you through the wilderness is a consuming fire. So when the messages begin to change, when the bread begins to change, know that God is equipping people with a new testimony because of the pathway that they must follow. So the second sign that there is transition is that the emphasis of God will change. The third sign that there is a transition is that God will begin to raise new voices. And God doesn't raise voices just because he wants to bring new people on the scene. It means God is beginning to encounter people in the closet. Because when you see people manifest in the public, their manifestation is a testimony of the transactions that took place in the closet. So when you see those things happen, they begin to tell you the things God told them, not the things you read in the textbook. Thank God for the writings and the books that the fathers wrote. But when you hear the message now, you will discover that what they say is not in a book. That means God is beginning to encounter men in the closet, because a new witness is about to come into the territory. So the third indicator that there's a transition is that encounters begin to take place. It is those encounters that pick the men that God will use. So if you have not had any encounter that has affected your life and destiny, in the next 10 years, you already know where you will stand. It means you will be led. You will not leave. Because it takes encounter to lead the body of Christ. You know, we say it's advance. The conference is what? Advance. It's the movement. We want to go forward. So these are foundations. Now, if you have known the indicators, and there are many of them, I'm just saying these ones because they are busy. Because if I go into the complex ones, that one we may have to talk it when we are talking. Because when I was coming with Pastor in the car, some of the things we shared, they are heavier than everything I'll share in this conference. Because there are certain things that cannot be taught. It is only when witnesses sit that witnesses begin to overlap. And the reason is because God wants to raise a memorial over a territory. So the things witnesses talk is not the same thing as they preach. Because when we sit as witnesses, we are talking things that is where God is now. But when we are preaching, we are talking things that people can receive. They are two different realms. So these three are just indicators. Now, having stated these indicators, let me share with you again three things that happen in a transition phase. Because I will talk about that the body of Christ must enter into before Jesus comes. I will share with us tonight. The first thing that happens when an encounter, when a transition is about to take place, or when an exodus is about to take place, is that there will be judgment. There must be judgment. If judgment does not take place, there can be no exodus. There can be no advance. There can be no movement unless judgment takes place. And you see, the judgment of God is by two-edged sword. When God begins to judge, He brings verdict upon the gods of this world so that they can remove their influence over the civilization in order for God to have a way to pass through. And then when God judges, He purges His church. Because men must be purged to be able to receive that which is coming. Because many times when a generation is about to bow out, corruption begins to find way into the body. And I don't have time to share with you all of that now. You know, when you start out as a generation, your only pursuit will be God. Lord, you are all I seek. But when you have been in ministry for 20 years, and governors begin to bow to you, senators begin to bow to you, and your influence begin to spread across Africa and Europe, a point will come where it will no longer be God alone. There will be cathedrals. There will be jets. There will be businesses. Now, nothing is wrong with these things, but these things have a way of affecting your focus. And then your focus can begin to shift from Christ to the many things that are happening. And if you are not careful, you will become engrossed with ministry that you will lose Jesus. So many times, when a generation is coming to an end of the assignment, these are the battles they fight. Their battle is no longer Pharaoh. Their battle is no longer the gods that dwell in the promised land. Their battle becomes how to manage their heart posture so that they don't miss their first love. And because that battle begins to take place, the level of focus and tenacity that is put in to build their earliest disciples, they will not have it anymore. Because the way they build their first disciples is through prayer and the word. Their first disciples, they go for fasting with them for 3 days, for 7 days. Pastor locks himself in one room, others lock themselves in another room. The way pastor is praying, that's how they pray. So usually when you look at them, the first people they train is like them. But when you follow the ladder coming down, After the seventh, the eighth dispensation, you will discover that they carry a different spirit. And at that time, because man of God is now concerned about ministry, he will think program will raise men. Programs can't raise men. No matter how many programs you have in a year, you can have programs every month. You can't raise men with programs. The way you will raise men is to carry them through the same path that God carried you through. You were not raised in a program, so you can't raise a generation by program. But you see, because cathedrals have become big and many, man of God doesn't have a choice. So he thinks by organizing programs January, February, March, April, May, June, nothing will happen. A point to point will become an excitement. And they will lose the substance of God. So many times, when a generation is ending their sojourn, the body becomes porous. And because the body becomes porous, there's a need for God to visit again. So three things will happen. The first thing that will happen is that there will be judgment. The judgment first will be against the enemy. And then secondly, it will be for the purging of the church. First, against the enemy. So when you study Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, God said, tonight I will visit Egypt and I will judge the gods of Egypt. So God came and judged Egypt and the gods of Egypt. Now, the reason Egypt went through the Red Sea was to shut the voice of the Leviathan that dwelt in that ocean. And God killed all the first sons of Egypt. And the wealth of Egypt, God transferred it over to Israel. Because God will first of all judge. That's why I told you, we are not distracted by the violence. Because we know when God comes, the God of justice will go down. You see killing, you see persecution. You are afraid. They think they will take the church. They can't. The church is an invincible fortress. It's an invincible fortress. We are not alone. The reason is because you think men have died. They didn't die. They are called spirit of judgment made perfect. And the moment you came into the church, the Bible said you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of judgment made perfect. So sometimes when they want to fight us and we don't have intercessors to complete the quorum, then suddenly the intercessors of dispensation pass. Because we are in Mount Zion, they will show up. Oh, you don't know that sometimes when you pray, you are praying with Enoch. You don't know. Sir, one day I was praying and fasting, and I had an encounter. An elder from heaven came to me and began to teach me the word of the Lord. I didn't know who he was. And one day I was speaking to you and I prophesied. I said, God is giving me an encounter that ancient men are appearing to people and Enoch appeared to somebody. And I went to pray and I told God, Enoch has not appeared to me. How come I'm preaching and Enoch is appearing to somebody? And the Holy Ghost tapped me and took me back to that encounter. And he showed me the being that came to my room. That was when I knew that it was Enoch that came. And God taught me something. God said, if you enter their realm, you will know them. But sometimes if they come to your realm, you will not know them. That's what, hear me. When the glory descended upon the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter knew Elijah and Enoch and Moses. Because they entered their realm. Because the cloud covered them. But when God came into our realm and the three men were walking, Abraham saw them. He didn't know who they were. So when they visit you, they can feel themselves. But when you visit them, you will know them. Because that's a continuous perpetual. And the Holy Ghost told me, that was Enoch. And that you are the author of Enoch. That was when I knew that towards the end of my ministry, I will no longer travel. I will sit in one place and I will write messages to nations of the world. But I said that to let you know that we are not alone. Sometimes when you come to pray, you come to church, you are alone. All the prayer band members that you persuaded to come and stand with you, they didn't come. Don't be discouraged. When you lift your hand towards heaven, that's where you will know that there have been ancient intercessors that kept the gate over just. And because your dispensation set us, God will tell those intercessors, just leave you again. And the same way Moses came back again, Elijah came back again. Warriors that walked through the land of Jordan, many of them come back again because we are not alone. That's why we refuse to be intimidated. When the transition happens, you will discover that one of the things that God will do is that He will judge the gods of the land. Israel was in captivity for 430 years. The problem was not Egypt. The problem was, can they transit? The day they were able to transit, God judged it. The gods were judged. Their firstborn sons were taken. Their mighty men and nobles were drowned in the Red Sea. And the wealth of Egypt was transferred to Israel. So when God wants to visit, there must be judgment. That's why we declare with all boldness that the land will be won to Jesus again. Hear me. Just we rise again into our prophetic destiny. It looks as if churches are being closed. It looks as if men of God are running from the land. It looks as if people are being killed. There is a movement in the spirit, and there is a judgment that will come to the city of Jordan. And the gods of this land, they will be judged. The things that the body seems to have lost, they will be restored. And the glory of the church will appear again. And the will be clothed with garments of many colors, regardless of righteousness and power and glory. We know the movement of the Spirit, so we are not afraid. Do you know why we go everywhere? Even if you kill me, which is not possible. But even if I were to be called home now, this ancient mantle that is walking on me will fall on 10 other people. You will now discover you have made a mistake, because it was when they killed Stephen that Paul arose. I go to Meduguri. I go everywhere. Before this year runs out, I will be in Pakistan, the neighbor of Afghanistan. And my goal is not even Pakistan. My goal is actually Afghanistan. If I don't preach this gospel in Afghanistan, then I'm not preaching. We are not afraid of dying, because what regulates us is an ancient spirit. It's an immortal spirit. You can't kill it. It's a move of the spirit. Hey. For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the scepter to be given, for the priests to be born. Ali, Ali, O. Happen. Please sit down. So when God occasions a visitation, there is a judgment for the enemy. But before we step in, the body is also purged. Because there are men that have ridiculed the heritage of God. There are men that have sabotaged sacred things that have reduced the efficacy and the texture of our witness. Prophets that should bring the counsel of God have merchandised their graces. And so the witness of God that should secure the heritage of God have been depleted. Apostles that should preach the counsel of God and deliver a generation have created cabal systems that have short-circuited the things of God's spirit. Deliverers becoming tormentors and captors, not of the ancient world, but of the people of God. People that God raised in politics to keep the gates have gone there, and their bellies have become their gods. So before a visitation occurs, there must be circumcision at the boundary of the promised land, because God must purge his own. So one of the things that happens when there is a transition, an exodus, is that God purges his people. God bless you. Number two, 2nd thing that happens is that God occasions restoration. And I'll tell you why. Many times the reason God occasions restoration is because the maturity level required is not there. The momentum required to lead to the next phase is not there. So while God is building and strengthening the body, there is a need for restoration to take place. And there are two things that happen when restoration is taking place before its completion. The first is the protocol, and the second is the actual restoration. Let me show you how it works. These are foundational issues, so that when we begin to glide, you will know how far the journey is. There are four things that make the protocol of restoration. The first is the mercy of God. God looks upon his body. There are scepters that he wants to give them, but nobody has the stamina to wield them. People have been killed, churches have been burned, and God looks upon the city. He wants to put power upon men who will speak, and the enemy will go back. But you see, there's no action. Because the last time he gave them the grace to raise the dead, they began to enslave the whole city. Now, if I give them this kind of authority, a point may come where they may tell every other man of God to submit to them, or they will kill them. And if they say anything, it will happen. Have you seen men brag with curses? It's the lack of stature. Because when men become mighty, they bless, they don't curse. This is why God is afraid of giving power to men. He's so afraid, because if he gives them power, there will be problem. So he will help the body by allowing cycles of restoration to take place again and again and again, until the body of Christ comes to the place of full maturity, which is the place of love. So the first thing that happens in restoration is the protocol. It's mercy. And I will speak about mercy as I proceed. So I wouldn't emphasize that for now. But mercy is what God does to qualify a generation, even though there is a judgment that disqualifies them. Because in James 2:13, it says mercy prevails over judgment. That's why Paul said he was a blasphemer, an injurious man. He was not qualified to do what God has called him to do. But he said mercy found him. So when God provokes restoration, he releases mercy. So even though the people he wants to use have not woken up to receive the burden of prayer, to receive the burden of giving, to receive the burden of evangelism, he will keep provoking restoration to prepare them so they will go over the cycle again and again. What he's doing is that he doesn't want that generation to be deleted. Because in the realm where he dwells, he can cancel Israel and start a new generation with Moses. And it doesn't affect him. He can decide to be silent for 400 years. It doesn't affect him. But when he wants to use the generation, he will provoke restoration in between transition so that that generation will qualify for what he wants to do. And the first way he does it is mercy. See, most of the times that you lie, the Holy Ghost was grieved and God still went ahead to use you. His mercy were operating in. That's why you fornicated. And then you came back and prayed, the power of God moved. You don't be deceived. If you continue there, you will be caught. The reason why things are still happening is because mercy says no. Mercy is still prevailing over judgment. But if you remain there and the transition takes place, you'll be left out. So God is ordaining new prophets, and then you are swindling people, taking money. God is occasioning restoration for you to repent. You are not doing it. He still needs you. But the day the transition takes place, you will be replaced. That's why you don't have to sit there and become comfortable and say, well, the last time I did it, nothing happened. You are in the gate of mercy. If the gate of mercy shuts, you are finished for eternity. Because the business we are talking about is not about time, it's about eternity. You know what? We are pilgrims walking to the face of the earth. There is no way you can't dodge the throne, the judgment seat. Nobody can. There was a time I was thinking how I can dodge the throne. Because when I check the journey of life, I say, how can somebody pass through this life and make it before this throne? So I was wondering if there's any possibility of passing by the side. The throne is a gate. If you don't pass through, you can't go to the other side. You can't dodge it. So long as you have taken breath, one day you will take this case called body. And that day you will pass through. So don't allow your generation to transit and leave you behind. If you were counted among the apostles, anything you need to do to be part of them, make sure you do it. Don't hear later that your generation went ahead and then you sit down, you are telling people that thing that brother is doing is what I should have done. It's worse than the grave. It means you violated mercy until the transition took place. But before transition takes place, there is a gate of mercy that God opens to occasion restoration, so that men who were disqualified can be accepted for the same assignment. Why transition is still pending? When you journey through mercy, God will now expose you to trials. The reason is because you took some steps and he was about to give you the authority of a businessman so that you can become the apostle in the economic world. He was about to give you the authority in government. He was about to give you the authority to minister from the altar. You now went and fell. Mercy now spoke and judgment was eroded and you were restored. But you will not just appear where you were. Because there was something God did to your soul before you came there. God will carry you through another trial. He will prove your heart for you to qualify for it, because there must be qualification. When the Spirit doesn't try you, he can't empower you. That's why even Jesus himself, who is part of the Godhead, the moment he became man, he was tried. They didn't say, no, this one is part of us. So long as you are wearing this case, the Spirit must try you before he empowers you. So after mercy, there is trial. That trial is when it looks as if you enter a pit and nothing is working. And then many people want to run away. If you run away, you are finished. You that was shining, your mates have gone ahead of you. That's not the problem. The problem is whether you will go at all. So God will take you back. You will pray for a blind eye. The eye will open. Nobody will hear. The next time you are going to pray, you tell your friend to carry phone and record it. Your friend will carry phone and record it. The eye will open. You will put it online and promote it. Everybody will flip through. They will invite you for family deliverance. The moment you come, you say, "You are the mighty God, the great I am." All the demons will run. The power of God will deliver the family. The people's body will give you an honorarium. Because the last time money entered your hand, you went and paid for a hotel and you crossed your leg and had fun. So this time around, you will go through that pit for a season. Because what God is doing is that He's shaping your heart. You were into politics. You had money. Everybody knew you. And then God occasions a season for you. It looks as if you fell into a pit. And now that you came back, even the people that were working with you before betrayed you. And then you are crying every day. What? Even this one that I paid his school fees until I made him, it's a spirit manipulating them. God will take everything away until He resets your heart. And the only thing you desire is Him. When you get to that point where you desire only Him, something you are about to come to where you lost. The ground you lost has been recovered. Because the ground you lost is not terrestrial, it's in the heart. You lost so much ground in the heart. God wants to restore it. So He will allow you to go through the fire. He knows you will not be burnt. He will allow you to go through the water. He knows you will not be drowned. But by all means, you must go through so that the ground that were lost will be restored. When that happens, then God will open the third gate, which is the gate of favor. And then all of a sudden, somebody tells somebody, "Have you heard about Apostle Nat?" Say, "Which one is Apostle Nat?" "Don't worry, just hear this." And from one recommendation, 20 doors open. And then you say, "How did it happen?" You were journeying. It's restoration. It's a protocol. You move from mercy to trial, from trial to favor. When you get into favor, the whole things that you were desiring before, you don't pray for them anymore. But those things now begin to look for you. And they begin to pursue you. You were looking for pulpits to preach. When favor comes every day, people keep recommending you. And you now say, "Lord Jesus, please help me. I don't want to preach again." Because you can have meetings from January to December. You were looking for contracts. It looks as if every door was closed. They now gave one recommendation. And then you did one job. From that one job you did, no job will stop again. And you will have job until you now start calling your apprentice and giving them different contracts. You say, "This one is 10 million, it's a waste of my time. This one is 3 million, it's a waste of time." Meanwhile, 2 months ago, you were looking for a contract of 100,000. Because when favor comes, what happens to you is beyond what you qualify for. At that time, God has invested His credibility upon you. So when people are dealing with you, they are dealing with God. Because it is the credibility of God that now defines who you are. You now come to a place you are wondering, why? People are honoring you so much. You now feel so small. You say, I don't deserve. You are trying to package yourself. It's not the packaging. It is the credibility of the Spirit that is upon you. So when the people are seeing you, they are seeing something else. Small you like this, come for a meeting. Then they come with 3 jeeps to carry you. You now say, "Is it necessary? I would have come on a car." No, calm down. You are in the era of favor. In the era of favor. But at that time, the things you were desiring, they don't mean anything anymore. Your heart has been fried. When you go through favor and it still doesn't alter your disposition, then God will give you the scepter. That scepter is your enthronement. That means you are qualified to command the armies of God. Anything you say is law in the spirit. They can wake you up in the morning and you were not fasting, you were not praying. And they say there is problem. They say peace be still. Because you spoke, that same jealousy of God will go to work on your behalf. If you will know you didn't release faith enough to handle that matter, but you have a scepter. Because He said, "I, the Lord, I perform the words of my servant and I confirm the counsel of my messenger." No matter how you were, anything you say must happen. All of those things is not transitional. They are just the packages that God does in transition to create a buffer so that the body of Christ will not drown. That's why you are seeing some people. Things are happening. It's a move, it's a restoration. Because God has a bigger agenda. The bigger agenda of God is a transition. Transition doesn't affect men, it affects the body of Christ. But before the body of Christ comes into maturity to transit, there are certain men that God needs to create some complex spiritual algorithm around their life to be able to contend with the things happening territorially. That's the second thing. It's called restoration. And the first part of restoration is the protocol. The second part of restoration is the actual restoration. And two things happen. The first thing that happens in restoration is that God gives you speed. Your friends that went ahead of you, that was a body, when God gives you speed, in the last 5 years, they have built a cathedral. You are still stranded. When that restoration happens, you may just come somewhere and pray for one barren person. Or you pray for one cripple, and that cripple is healed. And the day that crippled person was healed, the owner of TBN was there. And then now they know, this kind of man will be on TBN. And then they put you on TBN. And then in 1 week, 2 million people reach out to you. Out of the 2 million people, maybe 3 will give you land. And say, please, take this land. And then people will sow seed into your account until the bank will say, wait, who are you? They will frozen your account and say, who are you? Now, in that same 2 months, your followership online have grown from 100 to 2 million. You will now tell the bank, Google my name. I don't need to come. Google. It's called speed. When they just call you, sometimes you just say, my name is Michael. Then they will now tell the operation manager in Lagos, you say, sorry, I was hearing your message yesterday. Forgive me. No, we are sorry for the embarrassment. Because in that 1 month, God has changed your story. It's called speed. You will now discover that the things that took your friends 5 years that would have disqualified you because of jealousy was not necessary. That's why if people are prospering, pray for them to prosper more. Because their prosperity does not stop your own. You see somebody, you say he's doing well. In the last 5 years, everybody is about him. Wait. What will happen to me in 1 week can be greater than what happened to somebody in 5 years. But if you don't know restoration, you will waste the years of your Kairos moment by being jealous of that person. And you will disqualify yourself and exonerate yourself from restoration. Even if your younger brother is prospering, thank God for his life, support him. Because it doesn't stop your prosperity. And when you are supporting, don't hope he will support you. Don't hope he will remember. Forget it. Because after Joseph interpreted the dream of the butler, he forgot it. But when the day of restoration came, he said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his substance and ruler of his household to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. In 1 day, he became the second in command in Egypt. The same Potiphar that he was a house boy in his house, we call him Lord. He said the hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the chariot of Ahab, even unto Jezreel. It's called restoration. If restoration doesn't take the channel of speed, there's another channel it takes. is the realignment of your season. He said, the year the caterpillar worm have eaten, the year the palmer worm have eaten, the year,
all the years that you lost, a spiritual manipulation will take place. And things that should happen once in 2 years, all of it will happen in 1 week.
So you are no longer the one moving fast. Your seasons begin to move fast. So God puts a speed. Maybe in your spiritual season, certain things happen to you every 3 years. When restoration comes, God will get those things to happen to you 3 times in 1 week or in 1 month. So what it means is that you walked in 9 years in 1 month because your seasons were manipulated. It should have taken you 10 years to be able to meet a man that will change your life. And God creates a manipulation. And in 1 week, somebody meets somebody that talks to somebody that talks to another person. And this is your helper. The things that he should do 9 years' time, he now does it now. He doesn't know why. Seasons have changed. Years that were eaten up are being restored. All of this happens in the midst of transition. Before transition takes place, I'm sharing this so that you know how important transitions are to God. Because there are many divine agenda that will not take place until there is a transition. So this is one of the ways God prepares the body for transition. So suddenly, you see people, a boy just rises up, and in 2 months, he shoots so high, and he begins to inspire 1 million people. And then you say, what is happening? There are the manipulations that take place between one generation and another generation. But the restoration is still not the big deal. The transition is the big deal. The third thing that happened during transition is the qualification. The first is judgment. The second is restoration. The third is the protocol of qualification. The army that God will use. Three things that happen to them. The first thing that happened to them is they begin to have encounters. Please don't be deceived. There's nobody doing anything great today that didn't have an encounter that makes it happen. The fathers of old that left, there were encounters they had that empowered them to do what they are doing. You remember Bishop Oedipo said he had an 18-hour vision. In 1986, he went for a Kenneth Hagin's meeting. And suddenly he saw the face of Kenneth Hagin change to the face of a child. And oil was dripping. And he fell down and he was weeping. And God told him, this thing happening to him, I've moved it to you. So he's the second generation of the Higgins movement. It's a faith movement. There were many people in America, but he had an encounter with Higgins. And the Higgins kind of encounter to be able to wear the mantle that Higgins wore. If there are certain encounters that you don't have, you can't wear the mantles of the men that have moved. Reinhard Bonnke won 79 million souls in 79 years. It's not natural evangelism that does that. There is a mantle. And for you to wield that mantle, you must have a Bonnke kind of encounter. That's why for John to walk in the order of Elijah, he had the Elijah kind of encounter. But you see, the thing with encounter is that encounters operate at an energy level. That's why when transition is about to take place, you see prayer movements begin. The prayer movement is not just about repentance. No. Repentance is part of it. But encounters take place on mountains. And mountains are energy levels in the spirit. If you're praying, you're fasting, you're meditating, and your spiritual exercise doesn't bring you to Hore, you can't see the bush burning that is not consumed. So all of the activities are not about the activities in themselves. That's why when you see people making themselves prayer champions and they want to gain popularity for praying, and their pursuit is not for the move of the Spirit, they don't know why the prayer energy was given. So they come to church, they want to pray, they want to lead the prayer. When you collect the microphone from them and they go back, prayer stops. I hope you are not distracted. The moment they leave the microphone, prayer stops. But if you say, come, it's your session, that 15 minutes, they will break the hall. The moment you collect the mic, their prayer energy goes down. They are prayer leaders. Come for prayer meeting and watch. Most of the prayer is when they are leading prayer that they pray. Come for the prayer meeting. Most of the worship ministers is when they are the altar that they worship. I've been to big meetings before. Maybe they have three worship ministers for the night. When one is worshiping, the other two are on WhatsApp. Because they think it's a show. So they come to perform. Because they are not worshippers. They are merchants. They sing songs because they love singing. They are not worshippers. And that's why before you invite most of them, they say you must give them 2 million. But a worshipper, when God is being worshipped, it doesn't matter if he was the one on the microphone. Anywhere he is, the waters begin to flow. The waters begin to flow. But when you see singers and performers, it's only when they are coming on the microphone, they will now hold the mic in a certain way. And they will stand quiet for some time. Then they will look for sorrowful song. Holy Adonai. Lord, we lift your name on high. We lift your name on high. They now sing it slow. They are singers. That's performance. Because the moment they drop the mic and the next person come up, their own worship have ended. Because we don't know that when a generation is about to transit, there are encounters that are awaiting them. So in Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible spoke about men that pulled off mantles. They don't take mantles to heaven because you don't need it there. But before they go, there is a place called the Tower of David. That's where God keeps the mantles of warriors. So when one warrior departs, when he passed through the Tower of David, he will drop his mantle. He said the neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory. He said, whereof hang 1,000 bucklers and shields of mighty men. So when a mighty man leaves the war, there is a mantle that Yongicho carried that made him arrested and brought them at the feet of the cross. Now that he has gone to heaven, he's not with his family. He's on the Tower of David. He's the man who can ascend to the energy level where Yongicho stood before that garment came on him, that he wears that garment. And that man may not even be in South Korea. That man may be in Congo. That man may be in Kenya, but in the spirit, that place of encounter is an energy level. If the man ascends there, that man too will find him. And suddenly, you will see another order of the Jews. The men that have the power to see the whole nation as a church congregation. Because a man too wills that they were prepared for the encounter. You could be in the bloodline and have it. Because God does not, our generation is so wicked. They believe that sons of men of God should not inherit what they can. It's wicked. Because if another man's son should inherit it, why do you exonerate this person? Is it a crime that is the son of the Jew? So there is nothing wrong in Jew's children taking over their father's ministries and mantles. There is nothing wrong with it. If God qualifies them in the spirit, because if you think something is wrong with it, then you are wicked. Because you have judged them unfairly. They didn't commit a crime being the sons of those people. So they are equally qualified like every other person. But the person, the man to rest on, have no regard for bloodline. It only has regard for the degree to which you can press and the height you can get to in the spirit. Because when that man to come, there is a place where that man to meet men. And when you get there, the mantle may alight upon you. So when God wants to occasion a transition, there are encounters that He engenders. Now, our praying, fasting, and spiritual engagement is to prepare us for that encounter. So we can come for prayer meeting. While we are praying, somebody else is distracted because he thinks it's about the prayer. And then when he's praying, it's when he comes up to lead prayer that he's praying, because he's going to have a clip that will be on YouTube. YouTube may clap for you, but God will refuse you. And that error will last for a short period. And then you will now discover that the people that were not known, suddenly they will emerge because they were the ones that wore the garment. Hope you know that David's brother were already at the battlefield, but they didn't have the encounters that David had. Because when God energized David and taught his hand to fight, and his fingers to war, the brothers were fighting over family birthright, lands and properties. So they were in the army when Goliath charged at Israel. That was when they realized, please help the sister, it takes an encounter to command the army of God. It's not who first entered the army, it's who have the right encounter. David did not even have an army uniform. When Saul looked at him and gave him his garment, it was now obvious that the uniform and the badge of the spirit is different from the one men give. Men can give you a badge because you preach loud. They can give you a badge because you preach fast. They can give you a badge because you preach mystery. But it is the encounter you have that will determine the gate that you will man. That's the gate. That is why when we come for meeting, we don't wait for anybody to motivate us. Sometimes when I go for prayer meeting and they are raising too many prayer points, I ignore them. Because the person leading the prayer has become a distraction. I go and face the wall. And I'm praying. Because you don't need too many prayer points. Sometimes when you want to ascend, you need to enter a cruise mode. And it may take 40 minutes. It may take 1 hour. It may take 2 hours. It may take 3 hours. Before your spirit comes alive. Because when you go there, there is a place called the altar of incense, where the sounds of God begin to flow out of your spirit. It will take time of journey, because the high priest doesn't just appear before the altar of incense. He travels from the gate to the altar of sacrifice, to the altar of menorah, before he comes there. So sometimes you are praying, the word of God is beginning to come alive in your spirit. They now truncate it from the altar. You will leave the person leading the prayer. Let him continue his show. You are doing business in deep water. And your spirit is about to open. Manga kakokuwa. Hidibu bela kakatuwa. Indaka kuzo. Tati lakatete. Elo lakatida danaska. Riando da kapo bate. Tita urakuwa tete. Etutuwasi. Kakakatiti kakakaskunda. Ititikaya tutu. Erine kakakukumua. Kakak. Nonde kakuka. Itete india. Uprende. I must ascend the mountain top. I must stand where the general stood at his work. I must journey through the blueprint. So whatever it is that he does, I must fight. So when you are praying, you are not just praying.
is an exploration and searching. Let that blockage go. Your control is gone. Billy Graham is gone. Of actus in the spirit. I didn't come for a prayer meeting. I came searching for mantles. And say, you will step into a place and the angel will come and give you one. They say you need more intoxication because there is another height. If you are not drunk, you can't get there. And you pray after a while, so. Sometimes when you are praying, you become a spiritual archaeologist. You are searching. So you will pray, and then some parts in the spirit are narrow. They are narrow parts. So when you come there, even though you are praying in your room, you will discover your body will bend because you are trying to go through a narrow place. Yate bado shikata elilalana na tedena. You are entering into deep places. Your posture. You are walking into deep places. Mandiga. Evelado. Dereganiano. Abatago. Toto. Etatato. Asilia. Tanak. Sometimes you are praying and they give you one. And you who is a comported person. The wine begins to intoxicate you, and you are scattering everything in your room. Mamele, Apatelia, Fufana, Azika, Atai Tete, Evoluni Nagado, Abatoto, Elinama. Alleluia. Hear me. We don't just preach because we preach because we are witnesses. I speak on this wise because there are many of you that are in the process. Some of you are on the journey to the mountains of encounters. The Lord told you, you will walk in the order of William Marron Branham. The Lord told you, you will walk in the order of Reinhard Bonnke. The Lord told you, you will walk in the order of Paul Wilberforce. Some in politics, some in economy, some in the church. But there is a place where the shield of many warriors are kept. Can you journey that far? They are met by shallow waters. You must the deep. Because the deep, they are the ones that see the.
You don't want to be an ordinary man, then there is a journey. There's a journey of the encounter. Mantakoba Tegedash.
Tanatatanda. Evando Plekas. Ragash. My God. Hello, Maneka Ziga. It's a Tale Kazunda Kabaka.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. I call you blood. Come to my encounter. Amen. Receive. We are the fingers of men and come. Oh, someone has a cattle, but I am not us.
Yahweh, you will be praised. Yahweh, you will be praised.
mountains of encounters. Men are made by the encounters they have. Without encounters, warriors cannot be healed from the rocks. The powers of the ages to come are only vested upon men that have seen the oracles of God. In the name of Jesus, we are out of time. Advance just a reality from a conference is a journey in the spirit. And when we have the encounters, then we enter the second layer, which is the layer. When we enter the layer of process, then we enter the third layer, which is the impartation of grace. It is the release of grace that we call ordination. So suddenly, some will receive graces that will make them walk in the office of the apostles. Some will receive graces that will make them walk in the office of the prophet. Some will receive graces that will make them walk in the office of the evangelist, teacher, and pastor. Some will receive graces that will make them walk in leadership, in economy, in the academia. That's why you don't celebrate men. You celebrate the graces that they carry. Because the grace a man carries is the essence of that man. There can be no transition except that we yield to the process of the Spirit, and then we receive the grace to bring witness to our generation. When we tell you the grace and the mantle of Catherine Kuhlman is coming down, it doesn't mean everybody received it in that service. What that mantle comes to do is to find those that should walk in it. But after that impartation happens, there will be a wooing of the Spirit to bring them to encounters that will make that mantle rest on them. There will be a process that they will be subjected to empower them wield that mantle. Then that mantle will come as the grace. That's why you cannot walk in the Elijah order until you know the way of the wilderness. I've not been able to enter my message. You know, sometimes when you want to preach certain messages, you need to do underground work. Tomorrow evening, we will start. I will be up by 4 p.m. on the dot. And by 6 p.m. on the dot, we'll be out of here. I know tomorrow is the volatile season, but those that have hunger, they will be here. And even if they are 10, we will utter the oracles of God. We just took time to ascend. From tomorrow, we will talk deep matters. And then I will tell you about the dispensations of God in His body and in His dealing with His children. When we say the body of Christ is infant, it's not to sound derogatory. The reason is because we are still at a low level in transition. Where the body of Christ is now is called the realm of grace. That's why our focus is manifestation. But there are many layers that we must transit to. And I will show you where we began from, where we are currently, and where we are yet to attain. So that you will gird up your loins
and prepare.
Is great.
Lift your hands toward heaven.
Elohim.
Elohim Adonai.